I spent the last 4 hours on the air, and I feel absolutely wonderful. Enervated, empowered.
Well, I don't give a damn, because you're gonna quit.
No!
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 10, El Cid, but, you know, spelled differently. Like the character, they're very clever. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave. So, folks, coming up on Again With This, Episode 61... How to use enervated correctly in a sentence. That is not how.
It's not good to be enervated. Energized is what she probably meant.
Yeah. Enervated means sapped of energy. It's a nonplussed thing. Let's all learn together. Actually, we will be energized by our actual topic for episode 61, which drops August 27th. We will be watching Shannen Doherty, among others, in Friends Till the End, at last. I think this has been on our list of possible extra topics since, like, the first ones that we were doing. So that is available on YouTube. We'll have a link in the show notes. But it's pretty easy to find. You can Google it. Look on YouTube, Shannen Doherty, Friends Till the End. I think Paige Moss is also in this.
Oh, my.
Completing the trifecta of things in which she enraged me by being horrible and annoying. But I guess we'll find out together.
And that's not all. We are also going to be dropping an early Again With Them. That is going to be on Thursday, August 26th. I won't get into our whole scheduling mishigas, but... There are five Mondays in August, and we're going to be just doing the first four, and then we'll figure out whether we're going to just roll the last August episode into the September episode, or we'll drop like an extra like mini bonus one. We'll figure
it out.
Or we're
going to roll it into traffic. Who knows?
I have to say, I'm keeping up. Like now I listen to the episodes while I do visual aids. I'm like up to date instead of doing like all back to back, which makes me feel insane. And
sure.
The first two episodes of August that are the only ones that have dropped thus far as we're recording this are I think they're getting dumber. Like I'm worried there's some kind of gas leak in their offices or something. Like it's astonishing.
It's like that ER episode where Mickey Rooney's like, no, that's benzene. You got to evacuate this place.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Because yeah. Sissany at this point is like 15 months pregnant. So like, whatever. I'm going to give her a pass. She's got a lot going on. I don't expect her to be like,
well, apparently iHeart doesn't let her do anything. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
Anyway, it's going to be a time, even if there's only four episodes instead of five. So...
Oh, boy. Okay.
Get ready for that on August 26th. And that is a special perk for our Patreons at the $5 level and up. So if you have an extra couple of bucks, you want to kick up your pledge, I promise it's worth it. These episodes are meaty. They're like an hour long at least every time. So we get into it and we tell you everything you need to know that's not going
and
to get.
And you should not listen to them.
Oh,
listen
no. To us. No. And I'll say as a plus, this is something to make you a little bit excited, Sarah. The first episode of August, their guest is Anne Gillespie, who played Jackie Taylor.
And oh, I saw that. Reverend G.
That's the best episode they've done so far. She's wonderful. Like at the end of it, I was like a little teary because I love her so much and she still sounds wonderful. And so I was so glad to hear. So
yeah,
starting August on a high point, I was happy about that. And then the next episode was like, oh, you all just...
Like are still here.
850 edibles and then hit record and here we are.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/againwiththis for all of that. Now, all of this, El Cid. Let's start with our D plot. Matt finds out that Michael's been shady again. Yes, really. Hard to believe and yet it's true.
What?
So first, Matt sees Jake dump an entire tall kitchen garbage can's worth of beer bottles into a recycling bin outside of the complex and is like, any reason? And Jake's like, nosy neighbors. But Matt can't be bothered to placate Jake's little feelings right now because he's opening his mail and finding out he got back into med school, and Jake gets over himself long enough to congratulate Matt and tell him to celebrate at Shooters. And then we are at that very party where Michael waves Matt over to give him some depressing news. Clip two.
You squeezed by on that test, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact. How did you know that?
A little before and after look.
See,
here's what you really got on the test, and here's what you got after I changed the score. No matter how big and successful I get, I'll always make time for my friends.
You can't do this.
Oh, yeah, it was really easy, actually. A couple of quick keystrokes. Presto, change-o.
No, I won't allow it. I'll go to the school, and I'll turn myself in.
Oh, stop it. Matt, I only did it because you're so damn close. You know, these things are graded on a curve. You would have passed last year easily.
You want something from me. You're trying to get me under your thumb.
No, if anything, I'm paying you back. You want to change a few numbers for me, remember? And look, the truth is, you do have compassion. You do have understanding. You'll make a great doctor. Now, we got a little secret. What's the problem?
I mean, I know it's Michael, but I do think this is like his love language.
I know. But he's like, but this felony was for you.
Right.
You're welcome. Yeah. And Matt's like, why are you like this? I just wish Matt weren't quite so Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to Jane Matt up a little bit, in my opinion.
Yes.
Maybe it'll happen.
And that's it for Matt. On to the C-plot. Jo goes to Hawaii to scumbag one of her neighbors. Jake is just returning from recycling the bottles from the 1,000 he drank the night before. Not sure when. It's the last time we saw him. He was getting it on with Shelley. But when he hears Jo, all, hey, neighbor, she snottily asks about Shelley. Now that the two of them have fucked, she thought they'd be inseparable. And he thought she would be on her way to Hawaii with Mr. Fashion. Not very clever,
one,
but it works. So he fucked Shelley to get even. He defensively asks what she expected him to do. So she angrily tells him how Richard manipulated the situation and what she did. And Jake swallows hard, like visibly. You can see his Adam's apple move. You can see in the visual aids. Realizing, ooh, he fucked up. But he tries to save face by saying that whatever Jo decided about Hawaii, she's probably still horny for Richard, and since she's holding a suitcase, that part doesn't look great for her either. But she says it's none of Jake's business. Clip three.
You're going to sleep with Richard. Or is it Dick now?
Oh. Oh.
That was a slap.
You really are a bastard.
Aloha! That's Hawaiian for hello. And goodbye.
We know! Stopped at aloha. It's a much better line.
I mean, except no, because I don't know what Grant Cho is doing with this reading. He's like, aloha! Okay, Pee-wee? Like, what is happening right now? Hello! It's very weird. Yeah. I did not hate it.
No.
There is a super weird energy in this whole episode that I do not hate. Like, I just feel like everyone was really punchy. And there were a couple of takes that were like, this isn't exactly right, but it's fun, so we're just going to leave it. Like, I just feel like they were really feeling themselves and or were doing nitrous hits between takes. And I am about it.
Yeah.
And that is one of those, like, just Grant Cho being like, hello, like, hey, Ethel. That's a super interesting line reading. And cut, print it, we're moving on.
Yeah. It's a shame he never really got to do funny on this show because he's such a hunk. But as we discussed when we talked about Dynasty in the Patreon, he's funny.
He holds a lobster hilariously.
He does.
It's a skill. You should put it on a CV.
So then we're in Waikiki, where a pool attendant is bringing Richard a cordless phone. It is Jo. He apologizes for how he tried to rook her into the trip, saying she was right to call him on it. Clip four.
I wanted to be alone with you, and it was wrong of me to assume that's what you wanted, too. I miss you.
Guess that's what I needed to hear.
You'll come to Hawaii?
Actually, I'm already here. Right across the pool.
She's at the payphone.
You nut!
Exhibit B. I mean,
yeah.
And he actually like got some mustard on that one. Good
he
for
did.
Him.
Yeah, yeah. He's really excited. So she's been there all morning, but had to work up the nerve to call him. She also says she and Jake are done and she was afraid of falling into a rebound with Richard. But he promises this really will be a work trip, except when they have to eat or cool down in the pool. And did he mention the resort has a really great spa? Back to Matt's party. Jane returns from New York and comments that Joe going to Hawaii puts her and Jake both in the same boat. And Jake is like, not unless you don't give a damn. Like, okay, take it down a notch.
Yep.
And in Hawaii, that. Also, is Shelly even in this episode? I don't think she is.
I don't think she is either.
Which is weird because they just fucked. But anyway. Back in Hawaii that night, Richard gets out of the shower to a phone call from Jane. She mildly calls him out on sending her on this New York diversion before saying she regrets fucking things up with him. And while he's listening, Joe comes out of some other room, I guess the bathroom or something, and I suppose it's a slip, but it's the mid-90s, so, like, is it a dress? Like, she's got on black stockings and heels.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's some Courtney Love thing. And then her hair had looked cute before. It was like in this sort of like half down braided situation that looked adorable. Mm-hmm. Now it's down again. And this peignoir is dowdy.
Mm-hmm.
How you say?
Yeah.
Plus the chemistry is not so great.
No.
These two.
But anyway, he gets an eyeful, and Jane wraps it up by asking if it's too late for them, and Richard doesn't answer even when she repeats the question because Joe's coming on to him. And after they kiss, she shoves him into a chair and pulls off his towel because she's through taking things slow. And that's where we leave them. And as Sarah noted in our last podcast, this is also our first shot of Richard shirtless, and I wasn't mad about it.
I wasn't either. And especially if you just hold up your thumb
over like his hair.
Kids in the hall over his hair.
Yeah.
My advice to you.
Mm-hmm. Then our B plot. A travel mishap forces Allison and Billy to spill their guts to each other. Allison swims up to Haley, sitting on the edge of the pool in his weird white shorts with his weird gray hair. Sarah, your comments.
I don't.
It's not weird that it's gray, but it's weird.
That part is not the problem. It just is like, I think they're trying to transition him to some kind of like evil Prince Valiant haircut. It's just like he needs to cut it.
It's really shaggy. And in the front, it's like doing a modified Hugh Grant where it's like, no, this guy's old. Like, let him have an old man haircut.
Yeah. And I mean, like, he's not even that old. Just give him like a standard haircut or like let the sideburns grow in. But the back is very like if you remember the end of some kind of wonderful, like how obvious Eric Stoltz's wig was.
Yes.
Like, I don't think this is a wig, but there's just like a weird bowl thing happening. That's like, why is this?
Yes. Also, I haven't looked up how old Perry King was at the time, and if I find out that he was our age, I will not be surprised, but I will be bummed.
I think he was probably younger than us, but I'm going to look that up. You keep talking.
All right. So Haley and Allison schmoopily agree that they are both deliriously happy. She flirtatiously asks if their trial cohabitation is over, and he rather more seriously says he thought they could progress to the next phase and get married. And before she can answer, the phone rings and he runs off to get it, not even hanging up before pausing to tell her. He doesn't want to rush her, but she should just think about it. Like, he's still holding the phone being like, yeah, just a second. Hey, think about it. Okay, what?
It's not a lunch order, buddy. Right. Like, he's like, I don't know, exit. Do you want tomato with that? Just think about it. Let me know.
Yeah. So Allison comes to Shooters looking for Joe, and after some pro forma bitching about Joe's lies and deceit, Jake asks what's up, and Allison giddily tells him it's a huge secret, but Haley proposed. He thinks it's crazy, since if she accepts, she will be Billy's mother-in-law and Brooke's stepmother, so did she? And she says she didn't yet. She's very into Haley, but not the unromantic way he proposed compared to when Billy did it. Also, when Billy did it, just a note, you had known each other for over a year and you've known this guy for 22 minutes. Like,
yeah,
give me a break. Jake, yes.
Age update. So this was 95, this
Correct.
Episode, or 96?
95.
Okay. He was younger than me, 47.
Oh!
And a half.
So he's older than me, barely. Yeah. Well.
Sigh.
All right, moving on. Jake thinks Allison's not going to get very far if she's still comparing Haley and Billy. And she should find a way to test her feelings for Billy, which, like, Billy's married to someone else. Like, the fact that he is irritated by this someone else every second they're together is beside the point. Also, something Allison doesn't really know, so her feelings for him are kind of a moot point. Like, she tried to interrupt his actual wedding. And it didn't
work. Like, why
it's over her.
Right. Like, her feelings don't need testing. They are her feelings. It's whether she can get past them slash
right.
not marry Haley because she wants to annoy Brooke. Which,
yes.
Like, there's worse reasons. He looks like Perry King.
It's
just
true.
Go for it.
And he seems to be rich. Seems
yeah.
to be.
Oh.
But Allison knows that Billy is working late that night, and in the very next scene, she's finding him in the conference room and expositing that they're the only two people in the office. His winery client is flying him up to Santa Barbara the next morning, so he's cramming. They used to be her client. She loved working with them in her drinking days. I thought that was a nice detail.
Me too.
He says Brooke will be coming to keep him on an even keel, and when Allison makes a face, he guesses there's something on her mind, and she sits down and is about to launch in on the Haley situation, but then Brooke and her shiny orange mock
what?
Turtleneck satin dress
the
situation.
Hell? What is with the Delia's catalog in all the wrong situations throughout the episode?
It's so cheap looking. It's really, it's
yeah.
in the visual aids, of course.
But. Great color on her, but oof, that fabric, no.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, Brooke in this awful dress walk in, and Allison and Billy quickly wrap things up, and Brooke asks what Allison's problem is. She leaves, excitedly speculating that it's trouble with Daddy. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And Billy thought Brooke was over that, and she claims she is. Now all that matters is the baby. You gotta see the baby. But when we see Brooke next, it's the following morning, and she's sitting on the edge of the tub, yelling at Billy that she's never been so sick in her life. He unhelpfully says it's just a little morning sickness, as though he could know how little it is.
Yeah, fuck off, Y chromosome. You don't get to talk. I know
the
it's
upshot
broke,
is that
shit.
He will be taking this trip to Santa Barbara on his own. And then Allison lets herself in, kind of rudely, by the way. Brooke thinks that she just brought Billy's layouts, but actually Allison's going to Santa Barbara too, and Brooke is instantly horrified while Billy has no reaction, telling Brooke to take it easy, and as soon as the doors close behind him, she is retching again, which, relatable. So that night she goes back to Armstrong Manor, where she finds Haley in her mother's formerly locked room, packing away her things. Brooke can have them when she moves into a bigger place, but for now he has to move on. She assumes this is Allison's idea, and he denies that he is replacing her mother. And then he gets an emergency phone call. Billy and Alice's plane is missing! Cut to a beach.
Hello!
Cut to a beach where the survivors of their plane crash are sitting around, little fires, and Billy paces anxiously, but Allison is pretty chill considering their plane went down and no one knows where they are. Clip 5.
Hey! Did you ever see that movie, The Misfits, with Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe? There's this incredible scene in a dry lake bed just like this.
Great. We almost lose our lives in a plane crash, and you're talking movies.
I used to love old movies.
That's no use. The whole electrical system is out. Now, look, it's about a 6-hour hike out of here, and there's no reason for everyone to make the trip. You guys stay here. You've got plenty of supplies. I'll be back in the morning with help.
Alex?
Yeah.
Are there any wild animals around here?
Just a few marmots, maybe. But they won't hurt you. See you in the morning.
Be careful.
What in God's name is a marmot?
Another name for Bigfoot, probably.
Listener, I laughed. I'm just trying to figure out where, what here be marmots part of the map they're on, where like it's a 6-hour hike to anywhere
mm-hmm.
between Southern California and wine country.
Yeah. Well, Santa Barbara, it's like an hour drive.
Yeah.
It's not like, unless you went wildly off course, not that far. I'll tell you who is discovering marmots, though. Joe, because there are marmots aplenty all over Hawaii. Or wait, no, mongoose. That's what I'm thinking of. I don't know what marmots are either. I'm as dumb as Billy. When the pilot is gone, Billy chivalrously gives Allison his jacket to put on over her own jacket, which she already has. And then she confesses that she arranged to take Brooke's place to test herself. She's not sure what they feel for each other, and Billy doesn't seem like he is either, but he does have a fact to state. Clip six.
Allison Brooke is pregnant.
Oh my God. She can't be. You've only been married a few months.
She's having a baby. We're having a baby.
I don't believe it. Billy. I'm telling you how I feel. From the bottom of my heart.
And I'm stopping you before you say any more.
Well, it's not fair. I've been waiting for so long. Wondering how, when, if. I guess I still had hope.
I don't know what you want from me.
Jerking her around. If you didn't want to marry Brooke, the time was when Allison objected at your wedding. Like,
yeah,
this not even if I wanted to business is fucking bullshit. Like, I hate to take Allison's side because she is being kind of ridiculous, but like, don't give her mixed signals.
Yeah. Well, and if Allison is not going to catch the snap that, like, you know, pregnant, like, should he have kept that secret? Probably, but it's Billy.
Right.
Like, game over.
Right.
Brooke won. What she won, let's not even get into it, but it's like, if you're not going to stop, if she's not going to stop herself, Billy has to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, no, and like, just run into the desert.
Yeah.
Just like run out of frame. That would be so funny. If
well, she
that.
Does like sort of wander off like she did with Haley in that episode. Where it's like, I'm going to walk 2 feet away and then stand here.
Yeah, here's the tape. Doink. Yeah, just waiting for him to come and see if she's okay. Which like, no, Allison.
Yeah. We also have an update from producer Dave. Marmots are squirrels. They look like prairie dogs. They live all over. They are herbivores. Back to the show. Next day, Brooke comes running as Haley gets the news that Billy and Allison are okay. She's so relieved that she decides to give Haley some news real early. Clip seven.
I might as well tell you. I'm pregnant, Daddy, with Billy's child. And we weren't going to tell anyone for a while, but I just thought after all this, I hope you're happy for me.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I'm just so surprised.
Well, we were too at first. But now Billy is so happy. We both are. And I know it's premature, but I've been thinking about where we're going to live. And, I mean, it can't be that tiny little apartment. So I was thinking about the guest house here. Can't you just see it? The four of us? Billy, me, you, and the baby?
Yeah, I also would like to live somewhere with free rent, but you're an adult, so maybe not.
Yeah. And then they hug, and Haley's entire face fills up with vomit because, yeah. Also, why are you specifying that it's Billy's child?
Right.
I know it's a soap, but Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Haley's,
no.
Right?
Yuck.
Oh, hello. Oh, that's horrible.
Back to Allison and Billy on the beach, eating airplane snacks from the plane, perhaps, as they wander around waiting for their ride. She apologizes for the previous night, as she should. She hasn't been able to be a good friend to him in his marriage since she's caught up in her own shit. But with regard to a big decision she has to make, she's pretty sure she knows what she's going to do. And hilariously, Billy doesn't ask what she's talking about because he does not care. But no. He remembers the great times they had, and she says it's time to move on. And then their ride is there, and Billy quickly plants a pretty good kiss on her and tells her not to tell Brooke. I made a gif of this because I was like, not bad. He's
yeah,
improving.
It was pretty good. Just yeah. The like chin grab was like very, it was very sort of like mid-century, like mm-hmm. old movies. So yeah, I thought it was cute.
Yeah. So then we're at Armstrong Manor as Billy and Allison are reunited with their loved ones. Brooke tells Billy, yes?
Can I ask a question though? By the time they get from the wreckage where it's the morning to Armstrong Manor, it's night, right?
Yes.
So then Brooke is still in this Delia's, this time satin and fake velvet, something or other, and heels that are audible during this entire crisis while in the first trimester, she's like in her Delia's togs with heels on. Like, sweatpants, lady, your husband was in a plane crash. You earned it.
Right. Also, I don't know how far off course they got, but. If it's morning when you get picked up. Like,
did you get lost again? Did the cab also go down?
Like, did you want to stop at, you know, what is
Musbury Farm?
No, what's the castle on? Oh, Hearst Castle.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is that what it is?
Or Chris's Halfway Cafe? Is there like a full solar eclipse?
Right.
Are we in a Stephen King novel? What's happening?
Yeah. Anyway, Brooke tells Billy about having spilled the baby news to her dad, and he says it's fine since he also told Allison, and she seems less fine about that as she watches Haley and Allison greeting each other. This is a long one, but you gotta hear it. Clip 8.
For one thing, it made me realize how ridiculous that proposal of mine was.
The question or the way you asked it?
The way it was asked. Like a kid, I was cushioning the blow to my ego in case your answer was no. Anyway. Allison. I've never been so in love in my life. You brought me the hope and happiness that I thought I'd lost forever. You made me see how bright the future can be. I love you more than I have or will love anyone. Will you do me the honor of becoming my partner for life? Will you marry me?
Yes. Yes, I'll marry you.
This proposal went on longer than their relationship.
It's true.
Oh, my God. Like, at first, Brooke is like, this is a nightmare, and Billy just looks bored. Team Billy, like, it's really long. Oh, God.
But the ring is not bad.
No.
It's better than
especially,
most.
Yep, especially for the Starverse. They went platinum, finally.
Yeah. So the next day in her office at D&D, Brooke is giving Haley an ultimatum. If he marries Allison, he will never see his grandchild. And he's like, whatever, we're going to Mexico. Bye.
Peace. Yeah, so good.
He came to ask for Brooke's blessing, but it's not going to happen. And he leaves and she tries to cry. It's not great. I mean, I love her, but this isn't her best moment. You can see in the video blades. Then we see Haley and Allison in a church in Mexico getting married with 1 million candles and no witnesses, just saying. Their vows are pretty blah, other than Allison saying his faith in her has made her a complete person. Okay. Anyway, clip 9.
What God has joined together, let no man break apart.
I don't know about God.
A man's not going to try to break it apart is A. B, I'm pretty sure that it is not a legal marriage, given that she had a full snooky bump on her head. Very weird.
Well, yes. I'm more concerned about the lack of witnesses, which makes me think this is all just a put-on of some kind. But, you know, just because it's a soap. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Sure will.
Finally, our A-plot. A recurring character's death embroils practically everyone. So we pick up
R.I.P. Chris. Just kidding.
So we pick up here in Jack's hospital room with Amanda leaning over his bed while he flatlines and Sydney watching the whole scene until a code blue goes out on the PA and Sydney springs into action. Clip 10.
It wasn't enough that you pushed him over that balcony. You had to go and pull out his breathing doohickey.
I mean, I'm glad you brought up the balcony because, again, Amanda did not push him. He fell.
Yeah.
Similarly, she did not pull out his tube. He did, I guess. I went back and checked after this because I was like, wait, did I miss her pulling it out? No, it's like she's putting her hand on the plug and then she decides not to pull it. And then his tube is just out.
Out. Yeah.
So that's A. B, Sydney takes like a hanky or a Kleenex or something out of her purse to re-intubate him. And like, no, we know from watching doctor shows, this is a difficult thing for doctors who have gone to medical school to learn how to do. There's a whole episode of Scrubs where Elliot is like trying to avoid doing it and keeps making Carla do it for her because she's so anxious about it. Like,
there's
numerous
episodes of ER devoted to various like rising residents trying to avoid doing it. Lucy,
yes.
Like there's a special tool.
Right. It's not like sticking a straw in a can of pop. Like it's complicated.
No, it's not. Although if it were like stripey, like an old time straw, that would make
me
smile.
Be fun. It would be festive. Yeah. You know, not sure. To say Sydney cannot be a prodigy and just know how to do this, but it's not like lacing up a running shoe. Another analogy. It is complicated, but whatever. Yeah. Sydney's just finished doing this somehow when Jack's nurse comes racing in, calling for a crash cart. And in the melee, Sydney slips off into the night. And then Michael enters to run the code while Amanda stands out of the way. And he gets out the paddles and everyone goes through all the shit you do. But clip 11.
He's dead.
My crash cart's coming back through here.
For good this time.
Oh my God. The eye contact they make over this corpse is so sexy. I hate how much I love him.
Yeah, he is pretty authoritative, even though, like, if he were my doctor, I'd be like, I am dead for good this time. But Calabro.
The best.
Love.
After the credits, Peter's pacing at home when Kimberly comes sauntering in, not in the outfit she was wearing for her first meeting with Dr. Brothers, so who the hell even knows how much time has passed since he saw her last, but he frantically demands to know where she was. She smugly says she figured he would be with Amanda and tells him about the audition, and he orders her to quit. If anyone found out what she was doing, they would both be in serious trouble. Like, is she thinking that, like, her probation officer or whatever is just never going to chance to hear her on the radio? Because it's not today. She can't just do it from, like, the guest room at Peter's house we are doing right now. Crazy. Yeah.
Also, like, isn't part of the point of the monitor that, like, they can see if it's moving, but they can also see if it's not moving, and eventually somebody from the parole department or the whatever department, the department,
yes,
that has taken charge of Kook Balloons Shaw is gonna be like, so it seems sort of weird that it's been on the back of the toilet tank this whole time.
I don't know. This is why when you see it in other shows where people are trying to fool them, they like put it on the cat or something. So at least it goes places in the house.
Like, it's not their fault that I recapped White Collar, but I did, and this is annoying. they could just hand wave it and be like, your parole officer died, and then the entire parole department fell into the ocean. Like, just give us one line so that we can all be free of how little you understand about the system.
Yeah, because I feel like the answer is going to be, well, she's in Peter's care, so Peter is supposed to be in charge of her, because he's in charge of everything. But, like, I mean, none of this is how it works, so I don't know why I'm getting mad about this one aspect. Yet I am. Right then, the phone rings. It's Amanda calling to give Peter the good news about Jack. She doesn't know what to do. If he could see her, he might tell her to start by not smiling where people can see her in the hall outside her dead husband's hospital room.
Yeah.
But he can't, so he just says he's on his way. And Kimberly craps that it's the same advice he has for all the women in his life, but he's like, you know, stay here. Back to the hospital. Michael reports he just signed Jack's death certificate. There's going to have to be an autopsy, but Michael hasn't notified Nick yet so that they can buy time to come up with a cover story, I guess. But from what Michael can tell, someone tampered with Jack's breathing apparatus and he was moved. And he's suspicious since coma patients don't really move. And Amanda refuses to tell him anything, which is when Peter shows up to drag her away by the arm, of course. When Michael turns around, he sees Sydney loitering in the hall. She tries to, like, hustle away when she sees that he saw her, but is too slow. And he demands to know what she knows, and she claims she knows everything. And in the supply room that he dragged her to, Amanda tells Peter what happened, and he tries to reach out to comfort her, but she insists she won't fall apart. There was only one person in the world who really scared her. It was Jack, and now she's free of him for the first time in years. And she quietly cries, and Peter kisses the top of her head instead of her forehead for a change. And at the office, Peter and Michael testily confer about Jack's imminent autopsy. And then a delivery guy shows up with an identical note for each of them, inviting them to dinner that night. And Amanda comes in on the end of this because she got the same thing. And then we're at this sushi joint. Amanda's about to leave when Sydney appears at the door in a geisha get up, which, unfortunate, but...
Yeah.
Oof. It is a very pretty kimono, though. Mm-hmm. In no mood, Amanda asks what Sydney wants, and she gets to it. Clip 12.
First, let's review what I have. That would be you, Amanda, and you, Peter, on tape, admitting your total involvement in Jack's accident and ultimate demise. Whacking away with that golf club, shame on you.
I'm not going to listen to this.
Sit down, Amanda. You are the one in the most trouble here. I saw you in that hospital room with Jack's air hose hanging out. You murdered him in cold blood.
He attacked me. He would have killed me.
Details, details.
Damn it. Just tell us what you want.
Very simple. From Amanda. I want 50% of what she inherits from Jack. Well, the divorce never went through, did it? So you're going to get it all, a whole ball of wax. I'm assuming we're into a seven-figure area here, am I right?
That's all?
I don't think you're getting off so easy, Peter. I'm counting on you to explain the sense of this to Amanda. Tough blow on her ego, divvying up all that cash, but you'll make her see the wisdom in it. Or lose your medical license. Your choice.
Which brings you to me.
Oh, Michael, always getting yourself into these jams. You'll be thrilled to know I have no demands.
No demands?
I learned it from you. The folks you care about the most, charity's best policy.
That's it. I'm leaving. Let's go, Peter.
I'll need a cashier's check. Good night. Drive carefully. Wouldn't want anything to happen to him.
Hey, you must want something from me.
Tell you what, you can pick up the tab for dinner.
So, as plans go, it's not bad.
It's not bad. I'm also glad that they sort of moved off. Not that Laura Layton couldn't do it justice, but that they moved off the sort of like someone helps Sid.
Right.
Flavor of her scheming and just made her like embrace and enjoy it because it's just more fun for everyone and not quite so upsetting.
Yep. Agreed.
And she's like, I'm scheming, but also I'm a sex worker with unresolved issues. Like, this is more fun.
Yep.
But her styling the last couple episodes, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is so, it's all the makeup. She needs none of it, and it's all on her face.
Yeah. So she comments that she's heard the sashimi is an aphrodisiac. Looking like he's got a semi already, Michael says they shouldn't be tempted, but she disagrees, and his eyebrows are like, yeah, okay, with the rest of his face soon agreeing. And he mutters that they should also get a gallon of sake to wash it down, and she's like, what? And he's like, nothing. Then he rolls into the office the next day looking rough, to be greeted by Sydney in his face, giving him a coffee. And he admits that he's on edge waiting for her blackmail demands, but she insists there really are none and goes back to her desk. And then he goes to his office and spies on her through the blinds. So then Amanda comes to the office to tell Peter she thinks Nick is on to them, but Peter says he has no proof and they know Sydney hasn't said anything. Amanda considered running again, but is determined to stand and fight. So Peter says they only have two problems left, getting Nick out of Amanda's life and Kimberly out of Peter's. But he thinks together they can handle pretty much everything, anything, and then they start making out. And when we see them next, he is showing up at her place with a sneak peek at Jack's autopsy notes. His death was due entirely to his injuries from the fall and the shenanigans with the breathing tube, whatever they were, had nothing to do with it. She could still be fucked since there's no way to prove self-defense, but since she doesn't want Jack's money, they can trade her claim on the estate for getting the autopsy results sealed. I doubt that very much if it's considered a suspicious death. I don't think it matters, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want her to go to trial, so I'll allow it.
Yeah, like if this ends all of this, great.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
corner, 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 corner. Got it.
So since Amanda's signing away her rights to the estate, Sydney's half of nothing will be nothing also. And Amanda's dubious, but Peter says what Sydney really wants is Michael, and he will get them off the hook if they can set the situation up correctly. And so the final question is, how can Amanda repay Peter? And it seems like the answer is sexfully. And the next day, Amanda goes to the office to give Sydney the money she owes her. 50 cents. She has papers confirming the sale of her portion of Jack's estate and tells Sydney what she got for it. $1. And sputtering, Sydney brings up her tape, but Amanda says it would be inadmissible in court. I'm not sure that's true. And that she should use it on Michael. And also, Kimberly is moving into Sydney's apartment. And I guess Amanda's exercising her rights, having let Sydney live there rent-free, but this seems very illegal. I don't know why this is the one thing where I think they're going to get it right, but
also,
anyway.
Kimberly tried to blow the complex up.
She
this
did.
This is harassment of the other neighbors.
Yep.
Why? Get her own place. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard.
Well, they already have this set built. You know, probably cost them a lot to shoot in whatever that actual house is that is supposed to be Peter's place.
The cat tree. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Anyway, if Sydney doesn't like it, she should move in with Michael, Amanda proposes. And we hear this, clip 13.
Oh, my God. You're even better at this than I am.
It's about time you realize that. Be out by 6.
Game, recognizing game. Gotta love it. Amanda also is wearing, she's wearing like a very simple bright red shift dress and little white Keds. Classic. Gorgeous.
Yep.
She looks super smug in this scene, and I think it's as much because of the cute outfit mm-hmm. as it is because she's about to sit out Sydney.
Yep.
And I like it.
Mm-hmm. So then Peter watches as Kimberly triumphantly moves into Sydney's old place and celebrates her work release arrangement. No.
No.
She'll be on the air nightly from 9 to 3 a.m. Definitely not. That's prime time.
No.
Like, I mean, it's not drive time, but like that people listen to the radio then. That's not when you put on untested talent.
And that's also not how like radio shows work. I mean, look, Grandpa's the only one still like listening to terrestrial radio, but still, come on, guys. Mm-hmm.
So Kimberly's just opened her blinds to gaze out happily at her new view when she sees Peter crossing the courtyard and kissing on Amanda. And as we get up close with them, Amanda asks him to spend the night with her. And after Peter has confirmed that she's sober, they head up and Kimberly calls him a bastard. And then Michael is wrapping up his dinner at the beach house when Sydney shows up on his doorstep with Chinese food and he duly pretends he's starved because he doesn't want to turn her down. He's already heard about the estate. She says he probably thinks she's going to go after him next, but she's totally, totally not. But she does need a place to live now. Clip 14.
Oh, Sid. You know I would. If I thought it would benefit either one of us. But, I mean, let's face it. No good could come of you living here. I mean, never did before, right?
Those are the happiest days of my life.
Yes, but in retrospect?
Still the happiest days.
Sid, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say no. I can't let you make the same mistake twice.
I promised myself I wasn't going to do this, that I wouldn't resort to blackmail, but damn it, Michael, you are not giving me a choice.
Oh, come on, Sid. Just calm down a second. Just look at this from my perspective, okay?
No, Michael, it's either you let me move in or I go to the medical board. There. I did it. You're blackmailed. I'm sorry, Michael. It's just that I know that we belong together. I'm gonna make you the happiest man on earth, Michael. Wait and see.
You'll forgive me for this.
Probably.
And that's it.
Oh, boy.
What a ride. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Amanda triumphing over all of her foes.
The writers finally just being like, oh, we painted ourselves into a corner. What's a corner? And just like blundering out of it drunk.
Yeah.
Fine. Thank you. Hello.
Least valuable player.
Antonio Sabato Jr. when he was in a coma was the best acting he did.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say, I guess Michael is the loser ultimately. I was going to say Sydney, but she's got a free place to live, so.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
more-
got Sydney, and she's bringing food. I don't know.
That's true. It's not bad. He could do worse.
He did okay. He's fine.
Yeah. And that's it.
Next time on Again With This, Michael's 30th birthday, LOL, no offense, Glabs, means gifts for us all, including another wacky subplot about Kimberly's monitor bracelet, Jane bolstering her self-esteem with a revenge bone of her ex-husband, Matt discovering Shelley's an embezzler, Yosemite Haley, and Days of Our Lives' Elvis Presley. I don't make the news, folks. I just report it. And over in sports, it's our Visual Aids 1, your stomach lining 0. But if you've got the guts, you'll find visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This at our website, againwiththispodcast.com. That's also where you'll find a link to buy our very special 90210 book, which is available in all formats. To learn more, follow us on Twitter at AWT90210. And you'll forgive us for our Patreon, because there's still tons of extra 90210 and Melrose content there, including our recaps of the 90210MG podcast. That's all at patreon.com/againwiththis. Join today and unseal those reports. I'm other name for Bigfoot, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is generous MCAT neighborhood play, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is listening doohickey, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time. Ooh. What? Hello.